Culture.
Japanese cartoons. Who are you calling cute? How anime conquered the world's screens.
Most athletes raise their fists in triumph after a win. When Noah Lyles, an American sprinter, won gold in the Olympics 100-meter race in August, he held out his hands in front of him, wrists together and fingers extended, as though getting ready to catch a large ball. The gesture may have seemed odd, but fans of Japanese animation knew immediately that Mr. Lyles, an avowed fan of the genre, was making a reference to a popular franchise, Dragon Ball. Mr. Lyles had more cause to celebrate on October 11th with the release of a new Dragon Ball series and video game. More than 70 million people play a mobile game from the franchise. So will Ishibe Shigeru, Japan's new Prime Minister, another fan. Once a domestically consumed niche product watched by people with no friends at all, as one veteran producer ruefully recalls, anime has become a global sensation. These days, its export value in Japan, alongside other content such as video games, is approaching that of semiconductors or steel. It now claims more fans outside the country than within it. Some estimate that around 800 million people globally are animated about anime. Those unfamiliar with the genre often wonder what anime is. Animation created in Japan is the simple definition offered by Rahul Purini, the head of Crunchyroll, an anime streaming service with around 130 million users across 200 countries. But there is also an aesthetic connotation. Anime is usually hand-drawn and two-dimensional, unlike the photorealistic 3D animation that has grown more common outside Japan. The characters often resemble hyper-caffeinated Tintins, with unusually large, expressive eyes, small noses, strange hair, and easily decipherable emotions. Anime tends to be set in non-specific places, such as vaguely European-looking cities for some films by Miyazaki Hayao, Japan's most acclaimed creator. The setting makes it easy for non-Japanese audiences to relate. The only barrier is language, and animation is more easily dubbed than live-action films. Recently, anime has raced into people's homes with Lyles-like speed. In 2023, Japan's anime industry hit a record high, with revenues of 339 billion yen, that's $2.3 billion, up by nearly a quarter from a year earlier, according to Teikoku Databank, a research firm. Anime now makes almost half its profits abroad. Netflix's anime titles had more than 1 billion views across 190 countries last year. The most popular included Demon Slayer, about an orphaned boy who battles demons to avenge his family, and My Happy Marriage, about a girl with magic powers who is underestimated by her in-laws. Two factors help explain anime's surging global popularity. The first is streaming, which made anime easier to find and watch. Fans no longer have to depend on the decisions of network programmers or wait a week for another episode. They can binge, explore, and discover on their own. Anime viewership boomed during the pandemic as the world sat at home in front of screens for months. The year 2020 was the first time anime made more money outside Japan than within. Since then, viewership numbers have continued rising in Japan and around the world. Increased demand is producing increased supply. In 2023, anime studios licensed some 300 works in regions such as North America, Southeast Asia, and Western Europe. Second, audiences have grown tired and suspicious of Hollywood's neat resolutions. As Susan Napier, a professor at Tufts University and expert on anime, explains, technology hasn't brought us the utopia we thought it would, and the post-Cold War world has become more dangerous than we imagined, which makes happily ever after endings implausible. Anime is willing to have heroes killed off and characters suffer huge loss. At the same time, the protagonists are often cute and relatable. It's a dark world out there, Ms. Napier says, so audiences want that fluffy cuteness. Anime's global growth has been made possible by its own evolution. Japanese comic books and graphic novels, collectively known as manga, have long provided the source material for anime. Unlike comic books in Britain and America, manga are not primarily or even mostly for children. Thousands of new manga are published every year on virtually every subject imaginable, from pornography to reflections on war, which gives anime an inexhaustible range of sources. About 30 years ago, studios started producing more anime aimed at girls, such as Sailor Moon, which was less focused on fighting and robots and more on storylines and magic. And as the fanbase got older, creators began making more sophisticated works, often with more adult themes. Mr. Miyazaki won an Oscar in 2003 for Spirited Away, a Baroque fantastical story about a girl who rescues her parents. Around that time, Dragon Ball and Pokemon were engaging a new generation of fans. Japan's government noticed and eventually took action. In 2013, it launched an initiative called Cool Japan, in which it invested some 90 billion yen to propel Japan's creative industries abroad. It was a flop because of poorly chosen investments, but that has not stopped the government from trying again. It wants to quadruple the value of Japan's content industry overseas by 2033. The painstaking nature of hand-drawn, two-dimensional animation is providing inspiration for creators outside Japan. Earlier this year, Usman Riyas, a Pakistani director, released a 2D feature film with an anime-inspired aesthetic called The Glass Worker, animated entirely in Pakistan and originally voiced in Urdu. And the forthcoming Lord of the Rings film, The War of the Rohirrim, to be released in December, is in that same style. It is directed by Kamiyama Kenji, who has spent his career working on anime. Other creators are taking that aesthetic in new directions. Netflix's superb Blue Eye Samurai, about a revenge-seeking young woman in Edo period Japan, won an Emmy for animation and was among the service's 10 most popular shows in 50 countries following its premiere last year. Created by a Japanese-American woman and her white American husband, its lavish aesthetic and gore pay homage to directors such as Quentin Tarantino. Yet appealing to anime fans need not entail animation. Last year, Netflix launched a live-action show, One Piece, based on the popular manga of the same name. The original show, launched in 1999, was one of anime's most popular brands ever, with over 1,100 episodes and 500 million copies of the manga books sold. But for all the experimentation, traditional anime shows no signs of flagging. People are aware of a world that's more amorphous and more dangerous and have less ability to believe in the happily ever after, Ms. Napier of Tufts suggests. Bad news for the world, but good for Japanese animators.